who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who is this, who is the only one really, to have heard the word of God in a good and perfect heart, and to have kept it, and then to have brought forth fruit in patience, the willing acceptance of suffering? Who, if not she who, having heard the word of God and given her assent at the Annunciation, brought him forth to all the world at Christmas, and now come Wednesday, will bring him with Saint Joseph up into the temple to present him to the Eternal Father? She it is who receives the word of God among thorns, as I've just read to you in today's gospel parable. And those thorns are the sins of those who are choked with the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world. These thorns are placed there in Our Lady's heart, there in our Lord's heart, by ungrateful men. And these thorns are sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, splitting a soul. And that is what Simeon saw in the temple, and then Mary saw it for the rest of her life. They are the first of her seven sorrows, these thorns, that two-edged sword with its two sides. And this is the first of our meditations for Lent, for which we are preparing in this season of the year. Who did this to her? Who's responsible for those thorns? Why, we are, of course. We caused them. Who did that to her? Who put those thorns in her heart? He did, our Lord. The one who is crowned with thorns, whose hands are bleeding as he tries to pull the thorns out of the garden of our soul so as to give the seed of God's word just a chance to sprout, grow, and to bear fruit. He causes her this sorrow. Saint Alphonsus says that Jesus is the sword that pierced his mother's soul. Think of it. Father Raymond, the Trappist, says that Mary is the scabbard into which the sword is placed. Let me read to you now St. Luke's account that will be read Wednesday at the Mass of this first of her sorrows. 40 days after the birth of our divine Savior, Mary, his mother, fulfilled the law of Moses by offering him to his divine Father in the temple. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him. And he received an answer from the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now dost thou dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were wondering at these things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed." Consider then, first of all, the threefold context of this first of our Blessed Lady's sorrows. The Old Testament and the New Testament, and then unto the present day. In the Old Testament, there are two ceremonies going on, strictly speaking not necessary, but gone through by Mary and Joseph for sake of humility and obedience and to give us an example. The presentation. Every firstborn boy is sacred to the Lord and must be ransomed back from him. And so Saint Joseph offers the 5 shekels and the 2 turtle doves of a poor man to ransom his son back, but not because this son will be offered up to the Eternal Father in sacrifice. Our Blessed Lady goes to the Old Testament purification rites. She is in no need of them, she who is immaculate, and she brings forth a child without having known man. But again, she obeys, and again a pair of doves, pigeons, are offered up in the temple. In the New Testament, see this scene transformed. What's really going on is the beginning of the offertory of the Mass of Jesus' life. It is the intonation of the great hymn of sacrifice there in the temple. And finally, and even unto the present day, the presentation is the price for the light which will shine till this world be no more. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy own people, Israel, Simeon sings. The light which is Christ is never to be extinguished. But a light must come from a source. What is the source here on earth of the light that we see? By God's plan, what pure oil feeds the sanctuary lamp of this light of Christ? What white wax furnishes the matter for the candle that will never ever burn down? Why, it comes from the pierced heart, the sword-split soul of this mother of sorrows. Mary's sufferings as co-redemptrix, remember, as much as a human being, could she participated in the sufferings of her son for our redemption. Mary's sufferings, foreseen now, foretold by Simeon, keep this in mind as you meditate your 4th joyful mystery. You should keep Mary company this first Saturday, meditating on the Rosary Mysteries for a bit with her. Mary's sufferings are twofold, contradiction and cruelty. You might say they are the 2 edges, the 2 sides of that very sharp sword Simeon saw going right into our Blessed Lady's heart. A sign which shall be contradicted. See here, first of all, won't you? And again, if the Protestants could read St. Luke, if the modernists could read St. Luke, who could ever not understand that the mother and the son are inseparable? Just look the way the Holy Ghost phrases these things and puts Mary right in with Jesus. The mother and the son together will divide the world. My dear faithful, we are not talking about the warm fuzzies of the modern religion and love and love and some more love. No. This mother and this son divide the world, and so has it been for all of history. You know, you show yourself by your attitude, either your love of truth or your attachment to error. And when the mother goes, the son doesn't stay around too long. Look, the history of Protestantism, how first they threw out the Blessed Mother, and now they don't even believe in our Lord's divinity. In the Novus Ordo Church, just since Vatican II, of course there have been many heresies against our Lord, and of course they threw the Blessed Mother out of the churches. But the great heresy that no one even realizes or talks about is against our Lord in his mystical body, the church, the great heresy of ecumenism, that all churches are more or less good and more or less proper. When the mother goes, the son doesn't stick around too long. The sign of contradiction. Mary saw that. You can imagine her suffering in that. The other edge of the sword of cruelty, the cross, which Christ accepted, and Mary did too, for our conversion, our salvation. We were not saved at Christmas. The redemption only occurred at Calvary on Good Friday. And from now on, Mary can think of, she can see nothing else. She is said to have told St. Bridget that when she was feeding the baby with her virginal milk, she would often think of the gall and the vinegar they would force into his mouth on the cross. You know how they would wrap up babies in swaddling clothes, little bands of white linen. And when she would wrap up baby Jesus that way, she would think that one day he would be bound with ropes and cords. And when she saw him sleeping, she would remember him, that one day he would be dying and dead in the sleep of death on the cross. And when she bared him about in her arms, that his arms would be extended in the crucifixion. And when she took care of and washed his little hands and little feet, she thought of the great nails that would one day pierce him there. This is the first of Mary's sorrow. Remember that double sword, and you'll do a good fourth mystery when you do. It's a joyful mystery, but sorrowful too, because that is a life of God made man, and that, of course, is our life too. These are the thorns of this first sorrow, and we put them there by our sins, because our whole life is for the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world. That's why, come Lent, we're going to cut back on the thorns by cutting back on the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. God willing, we're going to do some penance this year at Lent. These are the thorns of the first sorrow. They grew up with her. Remember, Mary was only 14 when she heard this prophecy from that old man. But these thorns that grew up with her never choked her. No, rather they formed a crown. Thorns for her son's head, a crown for her heart, as she shows us her heart at Fatima. She, all the while, all this time, has been bringing forth much fruit in patience. Pray to her. You who are hard put to make your decision for Christ or for the devil, once and for all, pray to her. You whose souls are cracked and dry, all weedy and thorny, pray to her who brings forth much fruit in patience. And pray too for those souls who are positively choked by cares and riches and pleasures, those who are fallen by the wayside, our fallen away. Pray to her, especially for them, this Lent. In this first of her sorrows, there is hope, the hope of fruit, much fruit to come, and it will be born in patience. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.